Greetings, everyone out there across the planet, across the universe, wherever you are tuning in from. This is Shauna Ava, and you're listening to Heart On Radio. I have such an incredible guest here. I'm thrilled to have you, and Sandra Walter, you are primarily in Mount Shasta, so it's really exciting and beautiful that you're here in Sedona to do this and share this with us and our people out there listening. So let's start with a few breaths to just get centered. And here we go. Thank you so much for joining me in that. And thank you so much for being here today with us. There's really so much going on this past year, especially August and September felt like the Olympics, or it was like spiritual Olympics, exactly. Or it felt like the final exams in college where you're just cramming and all of these things are coalescing at the same time. And it felt like expansion and then retraction and expansion and retraction and could be really confusing. So I definitely want to get into some of the downloads and what you're hearing and receiving and feeling. But I also, for those who are not familiar with Sandra Walter, and it is Sandra, right? Because I know, yes. Okay, good, good. Because I know people can go, you know, Sandra D, and but it's Sandra. But I want to start, for those who maybe aren't familiar with your work, start out with just a little bit about how this all began for you. And this will probably take you a ways back because you've been, I feel, a light worker and a way shower for quite a while now before it became like the thing to do. You've been in the game for a while, and I'm just so curious how that started for you.
Well, when I was younger, like many of us, you know, you're having experiences in your bedroom, in your parents' house, you know, with different beings and different weird dreams and things like that. So there was definitely interaction and a lot of guides showing up early in childhood. And that was like a really precious time for me because I felt like I was in the know of this other realm.
Yeah.
However, I didn't have people in my immediate vicinity that were experiencing that. I didn't have friends or family that were psychic or experiencing these other realms. But it became very precious to me. You know, it was something I was keeping journals and you know, writing all these cool stories that I thought were just, you know, stories that were coming from these guides that I had. But then as I progressed, I went into performing and different expressions of creativity because I have always been fascinated with creativity, with how we were able to create things for other people and share experiences through that, through art.
Yes.
So whether it was painting or designing or performing, singing, anything, I've done it all. You know, I've really like just explored all of that. And then I started awakening. I started having strong awakening experiences. And in 99, I went suddenly clairaudient and claircognizant, literally on January 1st, 1999. It just got turned on. And it was, messages were coming in every day, and then they got longer, and I was writing them down, and I was sharing them.
Yeah.
And it turned into learning what I was here to do. So all of us have these missions or service work that we wake up to, you know, through the awakening process. And it really is, you can see like all the skills that you were working on before you woke up, all the things that you had been creating or your jobs, you know, employment or whatever, were kind of pointing you in the direction of, oh, you're going to need all this stuff when the time comes for you to wake up and go fully into service. And that's exactly what happened with me.
Oh.
So it was a big combination of not just working for IT, but working in creative fields and just kind of merging the whole thing into, now I'm going to be able to receive and teach at the same time. So it's been definitely an interesting path, but the more that I wake up to the multidimensional self through this ascension process, the more it becomes just so elegant and beautiful to me how we're all just representations of these things that are actually occurring in the higher realms. Mm. And for me, that's like this cosmic, psychedelic kind of experience where you really get to take a look at all the fractalization and how it's all starting to connect the dots. You know, the fractals like kind of sprayed out and now they're kind of coming back together mm-hmm. in this way of not just coagulating, you know, back together as one, but the experience of oneness becomes very palpable. Mm-hmm. And that's something that myself and kind of the High Vibe tribe are going through right now.
Yes.
Especially with all of these beautiful cosmic events and trigger points that we have since March this year. Mm-hmm. We had this very strong division of timelines starting to occur in a more palpable way. The timeline split began last September, then March was another division, and then you get primary timeline access, and all of these different things are happening. You get the eclipse, and you get the equinox, and the next thing you know, it's just like these things are happening at a much more accelerated and amplified rate than they used to be. Mm-hmm. So now, even, you know, the lowest levels of awakening are starting to go, something else is going on, you know? Like they're starting to accelerate because the High Vibe tribe is getting so accelerated and so vibed up that by quantum effect is just kind of picking up everybody, you know? And that's the whole intention of embodiment of this Christed crystalline unity consciousness is the more of us that can get into that fully embodied state where it's consistent.
Yeah.
You know, you wake up every morning, it's just there. It's just there throughout the whole day. You're just in the now, in the presence, in that multidimensional merge, and you feel it happening to yourself. It's very difficult to describe, but you feel it happening to yourself, and you're like, how can we, you know, provide this to everyone? So we do like the unity meditations and things to kind of feed it out into the field so that people can just tap into it. And you start experiencing that quantum effect of the human heart grid and see like how it's working in tandem with Gaia opening access to new earth experiences and the primary timelines kind of taking everybody into the 5D consciousness. And it's really beautiful. I find it very elegant.
Yes. Well, you definitely carry that essence. You do. And that's not just, that's just, you've come to me in dream time once before. And I remember what it was you just saying, I was like, whoa, are we here? And you're like, yeah, we're already here. And everything was glowing and lights and everything just carried this rainbow hue to it. And so that was really proof in the pudding to me that, to see you there, because you're not someone I unfortunately get to see very often, but you appeared the night before I had a session and you were like, yep, girl, we're here. And I was like, this is so cool. And I know that you spend a lot of time on the land off the grid. And I feel that that is so, so important, especially right now. It's like, it almost feels like, oh, mom, I have a tummy ache. I need to go lay on Mother Gaia and just listen to her heartbeat. Yeah. And I can get emotional, so I'm going to try not to.
But there is that level of comfort.
There is. And I would love you to touch on that a bit more, the role that Gaia plays in our intertangling and with her. I mean, we are of her. You carry her essence is what I'm trying to say. When I'm around you, I feel that nurturing, peaceful knowingness, immovable connectedness. Yeah. So what role does she play in your life, and how do you communicate, and what kind of advice could you give to people in regards to that?
For me, when I fully embraced that, how do you want to label it, divine feminine, cosmic mother, Gaia, it's all the same thing. Mm-hmm. You know, this, our experience in this planet, on this planetary consciousness and these different holographic realities that we're all interacting with, this experience is something that is played out in these lower realities as a way of resolving what happened in the higher realms. Mm. So we had this being, Pista Sophia, and she, you know, has this fall. She gets tempted by these beings to, you know, you can come to the next higher level. And she's like, oh, it really, she gets totally enamored with the higher level and then gets betrayed. and steered off path, and you know, the Christ comes down. This is an old Gnostic story, so it's the you know, the Christ figure, the Christ presence comes down, and he's like, "What's going on?" You know, he finds Sophia in this state and being betrayed and everything. He's like, "Here's what we'll do. You are." It's kind of a cosmic penance or a way of sorting out all this distortion and these falls from grace and all these different deceptions and everything that were happening actually in the higher realms, and in the lower realms it gets a little gray.
Wow.
You know, you're exploring all of that and what it can do to consciousness.
Right.
And it's all source, you know, it's all source just dreaming, having this experience of, you know, life in a universe, and what would that be like, and if it gets distorted, how do I bring it back, you know, kind of thing. And part of that resolution of what actually occurred in the higher realms is our experience in the planetary consciousness. So Gaia, the planetary representation, does represent that divine feminine that got a little betrayed, but she was also the cause of that. So there's all these different things going on. You know, and you can see, you can either, but you don't have to believe the story. You just look around you and experience that. Like, well, yeah, there's been this patriarchal thing going on.
Yes.
And it's really getting like very distorted in some areas.
Right.
But there's also this presence. And I feel this Christed presence has such a divine feminine, you know, go get 'em kind of energy to it. Where it just flows back in. You know, because the Christ did say, "I will come and get you when things get really bad. I'll come and get you, and everything's going to be raised back into glory, you know, and it'll all be good."
Yeah.
But you just have to go through this for a while. You know, in the cosmic perspective, it's nothing. It's like that. But in our experience, you know, we are actually those higher beings going, "Okay, I'm going to fractalize out into this experience and make it all good." You know, and some people are like, "Well, I will make it all good by exploring the edges of evil."
Right.
And some people are like, "I will, you know, make it well by exploring the edges of how high can we get the vibration in such a low reality."
Yes.
And you can feel how that's, there's closure now. You know, when you get those messages of like, "We're here, we created it, Gaia created the higher New Earth ascended state already. Now we're on our way to that full experience." You can feel the embodiment hitting the high vibe tribe, and now you're carrying that energy. And it gets, it's the divine feminine energy, or that Gaia energy, or cosmic mother, all the same thing to me in my mind. But it feels, the reason why it feels so radically different is because we haven't experienced like the full force of a fully balanced divine masculine, divine feminine in a long time.
Yes.
So you're like, well, you get glimpses of it. You know, it's just like the that now presence experience that we're going through right now of this feeling past, present, and future all at the same time.
Yes.
It's because that balance is coming back. And now you're finally able to feel the full experience of a source consciousness, a unity consciousness. You know, it's the step before you can return back to source and go, "Okay, now we're good. Let's create the next thing."
I'm wondering if that has ever existed to your knowledge or your belief in the past, you know, Atlantean times. Did we ever have a full Christed embodiment?
Yeah, and because the planetary consciousness is a reflection of that story, she was in that full divine feminine presence at one point. And then, you know, we had this, the story of the fall had to be resolved on this planet. So there's, you know, the falls from grace and all those stories and everything.
Yeah.
And now I have a real, a very strong sense that the stories are complete. And it seems like the minute you can grok the story, it's done. You know, the minute you comprehend something, it's like this morphogenetic field, you know, resonation, where you're just like, the minute one person gets it, you're like, you could feel it like trickling through the collective consciousness so much faster than it used to be, you know, and we can comprehend that. And the minute that you comprehend, oh, that's what it's about, then you can move on.
Yes.
You know, you no longer have to linger or cling to those old stories at all anymore. You're like, "Oh yeah, that's a story we used so that we could understand and get to the next level."
Yeah.
And now that we're embracing next level, that seems, especially the people who are embracing this embodiment experience, you start experiencing not just the summation of the past and this absolute presence of the now and the merge of all your different aspects, but you also feel the future as a very present thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just this prediction thing that we've been going through with the whole New Age movement. It's not about that. It's like you can start to tap in and feel, oh, Source is actually rewriting the entire universe. You know, that was one of our stories with all this. Oh, Source is actually recalling the whole universe and it's going to change into something else. Well, now you're having this palpable experience of like, that's happening right now, you know, right now. And that it's, you know, what is the next universe look like? You know, then we're starting to feel into, well, what does Source want next? Because it's like that with the time collapse, you start getting access to that. Yeah. And the beautiful thing is, none of us are allowed to look at it, feel it, express it, because you can't express it with the tools that we have in the body vehicle right now.
Right now, right?
Right now.
Exactly. Right now, exactly.
However, we seem to be moving into this next phase of our ascension and the consciousness, yes, and the higher timeline access and everything, which speeds everything up.
Yes.
So it makes it really, again, beautiful, elegant, perfect. You know, all we're doing right now is attempting to get our beloved brothers and sisters who may have got enamored or with the habit of engaging with, you know, conspiracy and lower density stuff and got distracted or whatever, and go, if you would just let that go,
yes,
something else available right now. So we're kind of attempting to pull as many people with us, you know, when the gateway's open to the New Earth experience completely, you know, which is a cosmic event, which we're all watching the pieces come together.
Yeah.
You know, and in our linear experience, there will be a consciousness-changing, dimensional-shifting event. And some people are saying, oh, it's a solar flash. I feel like it's that and the planet and your heart center go into this synchronization that causes your consciousness to just kind of be absorbed into the next thing, at which may be a very freaky experience for people who are, you know, innocent bystanders, but we're not really sure how that's going to go down because,
right,
you know, in our absolute compassion,
yeah,
and our absolute non-judgment and our highest discernment, we're now the embodiment of those masters, and we know we can project ourselves into the reality in a very kind and loving way so that it doesn't get too freaky and we don't shake the matrix too hard.
Right.
You know, kind of thing.
Yeah. No, I truly appreciate you bringing that up because that was right on the forefront of my mind and my heart, because I know that obviously you are a little ahead of the curve and there are those way showers and light workers who are ahead of the curve for a reason to light the way and help us. So what I have been noticing, a lot of the lower chakra energies really coming up again, that any kind of fear or insecurities or things that you thought maybe you dealt with or you, you know, were able to, okay, put that in a box and I'm okay. It's like the box is opening again. And a lot of this seems to be clearing out, and it can be very disjointing for those who are not quite, you know, in completely integrating the Christed consciousness yet. So what kind of encouragement or light can you shed on that, or tips on how to remedy that?
Well, even that core healing that we were talking about earlier,
yeah,
even that core healing it's happening on a tribal, you know, the giant human tribe, the
right,
collective.
Yes.
You know, and we can see it playing out in different ways. But I feel like the most important thing to do is to recognize it and feel it. You know, that's I know it's basic to an ascension process, is like emotional clearing is step three. You know, and you can't get past step three. And if you jump over step three, you're going to get thrown back from
it's
step
gonna come
12
back.
To step three until you get through.
Sandra's always, she doesn't realize this, but she's basically quoting this card already that for the week. Yeah, so much of what you're saying, it's like if you haven't dealt with it, it's going to just come back around.
Yeah, and I know we always say that, but now people are getting the full force of that because the boomerang effect of the magnetics getting stronger and stronger, you know, zero point is like ding, 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 ding. You know, it's like, come on, you know, you got to keep up. Otherwise it just plows right over you.
Yes.
So if you want a conscious ascension process, if you want to embrace that, and that's, you know, step one, is it a choice?
Mm-hmm.
You know, do you want to use your free will choice to choose to embrace an ascension process.
Yeah.
You know, not just waking up and realizing, oh, it's all illusion or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, that's pretty basic to any awakening. But when you fully embrace an ascension process and make a choice, this is the incarnation where I'm going to go for it.
Yeah.
And I understand that there's these huge cosmic things that people have been talking about for millennia. And now we're getting, you know, the reception of all of those prophecies and everything.
Yeah.
Right in our face now.
Yes.
And we're like, you know, it has nothing to do with these biblical predictions of, like, you know, world ending or whatever. It's like, yeah, honey, you know what? That world's already gone. It's been gone since 2012, actually, 2010.
Yeah.
You know, and that has been dissolved completely. Mm-hmm. And it's the only reason why it still exists on a collective level is because we're all creator incarnate. The human genome is killer strong. You know, it's like amazing stuff. And you are actually a reflection of Source. So whatever you want to create, it manifests. Mm-hmm. And as these things manifest at a faster and faster rate, you also get the boomerang effect of if you're, you know, avoiding your own baggage, it gets, you know, thrown off the, off the airline conveyor belt.
That's a great visual.
It's like, check this bag. You know, I'm sorry.
We're going to have to check this. Go ahead. And
Yeah, exactly. Mm. So that's the first thing is making the conscious choice that you want to, clear it.
Yes.
That you want to heal. There's got to be that desire there. Not like I want to heal because I'm afraid I'm not going to make the ascension gateway.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that used to be a thing, especially before 2012, people were freaking out. You know, they were like, I don't want to miss the gate, you know? And you could feel people having that experience again, like, I don't want to miss it. And it's because there is this event, this thing in our field, and we can feel it. You know, I just had a gathering here in Sedona where we went through, like, all those cosmic factors that are affecting our ascension. Mm. And all these, like, stargates are opening up, and the Trinity stargates, and that's why it feels so different. That's why the High Vibe Tribe and the Light Tribe are having so many different and more expansive experiences, and it feels beautiful. And you want to invite everybody to the table, but they have to want to be at the table. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't drag them kicking and screaming.
Yeah.
But the first thing is to really, you know, be present with yourself and go, okay, I've got this thing I need to get over. Now I am going to choose to take a look at what is the cause, core, record, and effect of what I have created. Take full responsibility for your own journey.
Mm.
That's huge.
Yeah.
You know, you can't go to a healer and they can't give you the cosmic Shazam and know you were healed of all, everything. It's got to be you. Mm-hmm. It's got to be you. This is an empowerment, a self-empowerment process.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason for an ascension of this ilk, you know, on this planetary consciousness, the reason why you come here is to learn how to be that true creator being again, which means they can seal you up in a lead box as far away from Source as possible, and you will know who you are, and you will rediscover your path back to Source. That's the whole reason to go through such a challenging ascension process, is you can go to other worlds and other realms, and you get it. You understand. Ah, that's where they are. Okay, here's how you do it. Here's how you do it. Here's how you get out of there. You know, the cosmic battles are going to come to a complete dissolvement, you know, there's none of that any longer when you embrace this higher level of consciousness. But you'll be able to assist people who are still in that level or at that realm.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if Source is indeed recalling the entire universe, all that stuff is going to be resolved.
Wow.
All that stuff is going to be, you know, is going to unfold to its furthest point, you know, furthest exploration. And you can feel it already. It's being sucked back into Source consciousness. You know, where Source is like reached the edges of how far it wanted to explore, you know, duality and things like that.
Yeah.
And now it's coming back into unity, and it's really beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
But along the way, you know, the personal journey, the little intuitive guidance that you get, you're like, well, I really need to take a look at this thing.
Yeah.
Here it is again. You know, it keeps coming up, because it will keep coming back until you deal with it.
Yeah.
You know, that's been the usual path of any awakening process.
Yeah.
But you can see now that you can fly through that process so much faster. Mm-hmm. You know, everything is accelerating because we're creating these vast healing matrices for people to step into. You know, it's just like you can feel these like interconnected webs of healing space that are created. Yes. And even like through the unity meditations, you know, there's that field and people are tapping into it even when it's not a Sunday going, I just need that support right now. Mm-hmm. And you could feel it because we have people who are embracing that ascended state in form so that it makes it so much easier for everybody else.
Yes, yeah. That is definitely holding space, I guess, as a lot of people refer to it, holding that space. And I remember having low moments and kind of thinking to myself, thank you so much, brothers and sisters who are out there right now holding space so I can kind of fall apart and get through this. And they've got that warm place to come right back into or to rejoin and connect with. It's such a beautiful feeling. And I do feel that I wish I could have attended your session. I'm like, she never comes to Sedona, and I happen to go to, well, Hawaii, a fabulous place to go. But that being said, the unity meditations, the hanging out with friends and having, hey, let's meditate instead of just sit around and shoot the expletive. You know, I find is so important, primarily because a lot of this inner work and this meditation and interdimensional work can make you feel almost ugh when you open your eyes and you look at the 3D, and I'm using air quotes. So really implementing something that is more of a fifth dimensional society and the way you want to see things, I feel like that's what makes you like, yes, we're here, we're doing it. It's in my open-eyed reality and my closed-eyed reality. And, it, you know, it's I feel that that is why maybe that calling is so important right now, to match that physical, what you're really seeing and what you're experiencing, and have it all just much more fluid, coming in a little bit easier. So thank you for doing that. And I don't know if you have plans to ever come back to Sedona again and hold it, but let me know. I won't go to Hawaii that time.
Well, just kind of, again, it was like that 5D thing, right? I came, it was like Monday morning.
Yes.
And all of a sudden you receive, okay, we're going to have a gathering, you know, because a couple, you know, five people had written me saying, can we get together? Come to my house, come over here, let's go for a hike or whatever. And I was like, gathering, okay. And just like woke up, okay, we're going to the Sedona Creative Life Center, let's see if they have a space. And within, you know, less than a week, the event was over. You know, it's just like, boom, it just happens.
Yeah.
You know, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. But and that kind of, when it comes to kind of coming out of your meditations or whatever and viewing the outside world, just a reminder to everyone, the beingness of non-judgment, again, is so healing.
Yes.
Because you have this cosmic perspective and so much compassion, not pity, but compassion for everything that's happening. And when you have that higher perspective, you realize, okay, it's just a game. But there's also the realization that the presence has come back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that Christed presence and the divine feminine and all of that is really infusing our consciousness in this now moment, and to stay in the state of gratitude for everything, where everybody is in their process and everything. There's like, okay, I see that, you know, maybe the work is not done yet. You know, there's no conclusion. You know, for a lot of people, they're like, I am not feeling closure on my journey.
Yes.
You know, and it's like, well, you want to demonstrate what it is like to feel closure and also explain to people that it's not escapism.
Yes.
You know, so it's like, yes, you did your job, you're doing your job, you're doing the embodiment and everything. And it's not embodiment for the purpose of, okay, smell you later, you know, I'm going over to 5D New Earth and we'll see you when I see you, you know. It's not like that.
Mm-mm.
It's just this state of absolute presence. And not only that, but we're also finishing up all of this, you know, prediction and everything like that. Enough.
Yeah.
Enough already. I know people ask me a lot, just because when you have access to the cosmic dialogue, you know, the galactic thing, people are like, what are they saying? What's next? You know, and you can talk about it to a certain level.
Yeah.
But there's there has always been this consistent message from my own guides of, you know, what you can share and what you can't share. Mm-hmm. How will it be interpreted? And if it can be misinterpreted at all, don't say it.
Right.
You know, so there's so much that has been held back. And now I feel like, can we just share everything, even the poetry and the weird metaphors and all these different experiences, you know? So that's something that I would like to migrate into with my work, because there's so many people now doing ascension guidance and things like that.
Yeah.
They're kind of stepping, we're kind of passing the batons, you know, as we go. We're like, okay, now you take care of that. I'm going to go over here.
Yes.
You know, and as you get more and more into this present state, this beautiful state, which is so consistent, you know, and believe me, I can't believe that it's a consistent part of my experience. You know, for so long, it was like on and off, on and off, on and off. And then, you know, you felt good, you felt good, you felt gratitude all the time, you felt blessed all the time. And then it's turning into this next thing where it's like this lock-in through the heart. And it's amazing to me.
Thank you. It's amazing to me
that this is happening to so many of us. You know, and I hear from my brothers and sisters who write, or even at the gathering, we were in so 5D, I'm like, I have no idea what I'm going to talk about. And everyone just laughed and smiled. They're like, thank you for being like so present with us and honest about the experience of like, I'm going to allow my higher self to just take over.
Yes.
And when you keep commanding that through your ascension process constantly, higher self, take over, take over, take over, take over, just letting your lower self, that whole lower reality, just drop away and be complete. You know, do all your processing, and then you get to the level where you're like, you guys just take over. You're there all the time anyway. You know, just let's just be this thing now.
Yes.
And there were all these cosmic factors that came into play this year that allowed for that. And now we have this timeline bifurcation, which when it sounds scary to some people, you're like, am I going to make it or whatever?
Yeah, it feels like a bus that's moving through, and you're like, I want to make sure I can catch the bus.
Catch the bus, so, you know? And again, it's that choice of love over everything else, you know, that has to be your predominant experience, your predominant choice is love. And that's how any of us, you know, got on that train to begin with.
Yes.
You know, and I saw it actually, the representative representation of it when that information came in December, when I get all the gateways and stuff and what's going to unfold throughout the year, was these big DNA spirals dividing.
Oh.
And it looked like train tracks too. And I was like, I'm like, what is that? They're like, division of worlds, timeline split. And I was like, this year? I was like, wait a minute. You know, like, that was, division of worlds was kind of put on the back burner so that we could have all these other experiences and do all these other things.
Yes.
Because we're actually changing the big architecturals for how this could unfold. Mm-hmm. Because so many of us had overshot the mark in 2012.
And oh, yeah.
So many, you know, my galactic levels were like, oh, you guys are way ahead of where you were. We're like, how come the lower reality doesn't look like that? They're like, don't worry, we're going to play catch up. You know, so we've got 5 years of this catch up thing.
Yeah.
And now, because we kind of overshot the mark, and now we actually get the experience of the full Christ in embodiment, and then we take everybody, you know, as many willing hearts again.
Yeah.
Just be willing to open your life to the experience of love all the time.
Yeah.
And pay attention to where you're steering your consciousness.
Yes.
It's a moment by moment thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, and you can obviously, there's so much information out there about retraining your thoughts and everything, but retraining your heart is huge.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you can change the neural pathways and the thoughts fire in different directions. That's beautiful.
Right.
But when you retrain your heart through that constant decision-making of like, in this now moment, what am I feeling?
Yes.
Pay attention to what you're feeling, and you easily redirect it. You're like, nope, not doing that anymore. Okay, over here. And then the brain kind of works in tandem with the heart, but the heart intelligence is so present with this new thing that's happening to the light tribe right now.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, you're just turning into a big heart generator of this, of source, you know, it's incredible. Mm-hmm. Again, it's incredible to me because you feel it, like, just rewriting everything.
Yeah. You know? Well, I mean, for people, and I think also it's noteworthy for empaths or people who maybe are feeling things that aren't their own. What's a good way that you feel to discern? Maybe this is something collectively I'm painting my way through. I'm clearing out, or maybe it's something through the, I had a full blown cry session over the planet. And so it was like, you know, just everything that we had done to her and just, whew, and man, it felt so good afterwards. I tell you, it felt really good to
release it, cry, but
sometimes it's not so easy to discern what is yours and maybe what you're just tapping into on.
This is interesting because in the dualistic model that we had through New Age, and trust me, I'm 52 now. I'm kind of a late.
What? I didn't know. Oh my gosh.
I'm kind of a late first waiver, but I do have like a lot of that classic, like if Dolores Cannon used to describe
Dolores Cannon,
first waivers,
yes.
You know, she's like, no kids, no attachments. You don't want the karma. You understand you're here for a mission. I'm like, oh yeah. Okay.
Get in and get out.
You know? But I also have some of that second waiver mission stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, first waivers were like, I don't know what I'm doing here. You know, second waiver, she's the way Dolores used to, you know, God bless her.
Yeah.
Used to define those categories, you know, and now we're just kind of mishmashing them all together.
Yeah.
But understand for those of you who are, you know, indigos and even their diamond, the crystal tribe, you know, and everything kind of coming up and through the ranks, understand that the things, the even the belief systems of, oh, that somebody else's is not mine, or I am processing for so many people or whatever. We've been talking about that for decades.
Yes.
So understand that has been part of the game for a long time.
Yes.
You don't have to do that anymore if you want to make a conscious choice and perhaps not blame, you know, unity consciousness for the way that you're feeling, you know, because it is an aspect of unity consciousness as we all reconnect the dots of the fractals.
Yes.
You're going to start feeling everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody. You know, good, bad, ugly, everything. So it's not from this state of
that's yours.
Love beingness, this heart intelligence.
Right.
You are not affected by it any longer.
Mm-hmm.
You just, you're like, okay, that exists, that exists. It feels very Avatar-like, I guess,
mm-hmm.
In this state. You mm-hmm. know, it's, and this is something that has just clicked in with, really with the eclipse. We started getting these very bizarre experiences, especially gatekeepers, back in May, with the timeline division starting to be, you know, we were pulling in these primary timelines and dropping lower realities. So all of a sudden there was like no foundation for a lot of people. And they went through all this trauma of like, whoa, I was totally tethered to this reality that just dropped off, you know, and you can see that, you know, there's a lot of flailing going on because the platform for people's realities are dropping away, and that's going to continue. We're kind of shaving off the bottom.
Yeah.
You know, it's like drop the lower reality with as much ease and grace as possible, you know, because we don't want people to get, you know, too crazy or psychotic or anything like that.
Yeah.
But you can feel the sensation is very Avatar-like because you're already, technically, you're already, you know, in that higher self state, you know, higher self is like, yeah, we're going to be experiencing more because the primary timelines came into play. So you start experiencing more of that higher timeline that takes you to that new earth experience. You kind of ride it, you know, it actually crosses dimensions. It's not something that is owned by a third or fourth dimension. It's actually traverses dimensions.
Wow.
So you kind of ride the experience of embodiment into that higher new earth vibration. So it makes your presence here feel very Avatar-like.
Yes.
You're like, well, yeah, Sandra's kind of here, but it's kind of like a representation. Because it's still doing good, I guess. I don't
so
know.
So true. Like a projecting in type of sensation. Like,
very aware of that. You
know?
And there's all these theories of holographic realities and everything like that, which is just talk and theories and everything. But once you have the experience, you're like, oh, okay. So now how do we shift the holograms? You know, that's what we're getting into.
Yeah.
Because by so many people embodying, you can feel the power in that, the divine power in that, because you're surrendering to divine will. And if divine will says, this is no more, we're like, okay, call it forth, this is no more. Mm-hmm. And all those lower realities, lower timelines,
dropping.
And the bifurcation happens between primary and secondary. So it's like very high vibe experience and then the old stuff that eventually does not exist.
Yeah.
You know, this the way that we experience the planet now, this density is not going to carry on for another 1,000 years. It's not happening.
No.
I mean, you could feel the end of history and her story coming to a close.
Yeah.
Like, it's not going to just go on and on and on. Mm-hmm. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
And I feel that people, when they have a sense of that, that's where this kind of, you know, if you're barely awake or not awake, they feel that anxiety.
Yes.
You can feel that kind of collective anxiety.
Oh,
and yes, there's
palpable.
A lot of starseeds that are transmuting that, you know, willing to do that. But you don't have to carry it in your own field. Send it back to source. You know, go, here you go. Here you go, brother. You know, that's, here you go, sister. That's it, you know.
Yes.
And you know, process it and let it go as quickly as possible. You know, it should be, you know, within a day or so.
Yeah.
You should be back to balance. That's the other thing, is the balancing act is also much easier to attain. You know, you don't swing for 5 weeks in one direction and a month in the other. You know, it's like getting very, very accelerated with the balancing act too.
Yeah. I thank you so much for touching on that, because I receive a lot of messages from people, and I feel so disconnected now being in Sedona. I feel very protected and in kind of a bubble here. But in the denser areas, I remember it feeling very, almost you, like you mentioned, that anxiety feeling. And then also as things are accelerating, almost a detachment from whatever you identified yourself as. Mm-hmm. In that the third dimension, and it being very, I get messages of people just very confused, and I feel like a sense of, like a dire sense of like, oh God, please tell me what's going on, or please tell me something encouraging. And so thank you, because what you have going on now, that you're saying you're experiencing the Christ at heart kind of always in there, and always, that to me shows us that's where we're headed. That's the light at the end of the tunnel. And if you just continue to ebb and flow and release, like you said, I love that. I picture like a little, what are those old school, like mail chutes? Just like, floop, like right up to source. And you're like, cool, put a little bow, a little kiss on it, send it up.
And like those, like, bank tubes.
That's what it is. Like, that's what I'm thinking of, the bank tubes. I can't believe we used to do that stuff. It's
know,
so funny.
Fun?
We're actually going so fast. We feel like we're not, but it's like, sometimes we maybe feel like we're not, but we're actually moving and processing and expanding so much faster than I think we maybe give ourselves credit for.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I have gratitude that it is accelerating. And the other thing is, you know, don't get too frustrated with what other people have, you know, the external reality has, you know, to provide for most of the collective. You know, most of the collective is getting fed nonsense, you know?
Just,
and you're like, okay, there's that. But that doesn't have to be your experience.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to have this laborious mourning over, well, the old realities as they die away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, don't, I always say, don't watch it burn.
Step away. Great.
Just create the new thing.
Yeah.
You know, because the more people that we have vibing with the higher timeline of creating the next thing, the easier it will be for everyone to cross
and,
you know,
hold hands and join in on that.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. And you do have to become that representation, that way shower, wherever you are.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be the simplest of things. You know, everyday kindness is beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, just walk around beaming everybody. Mm-hmm. You see something ugly, bless it.
Yeah.
You know,
love that.
See people having a hard time, pray for them, meditate for them.
Yes.
You know, anything that, and it is spiritual practice, is called so for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
It's consistency.
Mm-hmm.
And after you practice and after you engage with those practices, it becomes a no-brainer.
Yes.
You know, your heart just turns on.
Exactly.
On
you blink.
Radio.
You,
yeah,
yes.
It just turns on.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's on, and it'll be on, off, on, off, on, off, and all of a sudden you're like, oh my gosh, I got there.
It's just on.
It's just on. And those other things just don't bother you. It's not that they are that we don't have compassion. You have compassion, but you choose. What's your skill set? How can you help?
Mm-hmm.
And you go for it.
Yeah.
You know, you don't fret over what people are doing or what people are saying or what people are experiencing.
Yeah.
You go, okay, what's my piece of the puzzle?
Yeah.
Because we all place the last piece together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you figure out what are my skills?
Yes.
What do I have to offer? You create that at the same time that you're doing all your clearing and your emotional work and your inner work so that you don't wait to be, you know, perfect before you start engaging with service. It doesn't work that way.
Yes.
The service will teach you. You learn so much when you teach.
Yes.
So the minute that you step into, okay, here's what I have to offer, and you offer that with humility.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be humble. Mm-hmm. Don't be a braggart or one of those old school new age like guru types. Forget it.
Yeah.
We're done with that. I mean, some people still appreciate that kind of stuff, but you can see like it's migrating in a whole different direction right now. Multidimensional leadership. Yeah. You need people to step up and go, let's get together.
Yes.
Let's all do this, you know, that kind of thing. but treat it with honor and respect, you know, truly looking at other people and going, I honor and respect everything that you are, really understanding that they are just, you know, you're a fractal of you.
Yes.
You know, it's the same thing. And then you get into this divine reflection, sacred mirror aspect, where you start showing people the highest thing within them.
Them, yes.
You know, you watch people just kind of melt around you because you're not judging them.
Yes.
At all.
Oh.
You know, there's no more that mirroring your emotions and everything. You get clear, and all of a sudden people just are like, I don't know why I'm listening to you, but I'm listening to you. Or I don't know why. You know, I went to Montezuma as well.
Oh, you did? Good.
Yeah, a couple of days ago.
Good.
And I sat down to meditate, and when I opened my eyes, all these people were meditating with me.
No kidding!
They were like sisters and brothers just came down. I was at the source, you know, down where the stream comes out.
Yeah.
And in the shade and everything. And I just sat down in a little blanket. I sat on the wall. I meditated. And I opened my eyes, and there were all these other people meditating.
Oh my gosh, I love this.
All you have to do is like give people permission to do what they actually want to do anyway. You know, way showing can be really easy. It's like when people are just like too much in their mind or whatever, you pick up a flute, you start playing, all of a sudden everyone's in the zone.
That's like, it's always like dance parties too. You're always like, just get, no one wants to be the first one. And then finally someone's the first one. And you're like, hey, thank God I've been dying to dance. I've been living to dance.
Give permission for people to be their highest self.
Yeah.
You know, and we're just like, wayshowers are just snowplows. You're getting the big stuff out of the way so people can sail through behind you easier, you know. And you see that happening. It's beautiful.
Oh, I love it. That is such a cool story to open your eyes and have that happening around you. And what
like, there
proof
was
again.
Sisters there too. I was like, hey,
wow.
They just
and these were
up.
Just random people. Like
random
these
people.
Were not, wow.
Yeah, there was a couple from Germany, you know, men and women.
I love
there were a couple
this.
Sisters that were from Arizona.
Oh my gosh, I love that so much.
Yeah.
So much.
I was like, this is great. You know, so you kind of feel like that heart magnet.
Yes.
You know, it's like, if I just do this, I mean, I'm not shy about meditating in public or playing my singing bowl or playing my flute or drum or whatever, but every time I do, people are like, thank you, thank you, thank you. And it's so cool because it's so easy.
Yeah.
Just be kind.
Yes.
You know, just show people, oh, remember the other reality. You know, it's constantly reminding people, remember there's this other thing.
There's it, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, God bless that whole situation right there and that visual that you've given me, because it's so true. It's like you could be looking at the commercial and just ugh.
You could be on
and then
phone,
you look
taking pictures of the water,
right?
It's
or you could look around, you see Sandra Walter meditating, you're like, wait a second, that's an option.
And for all of us, it's such
for
a,
all of us,
I see
yes.
that a lot in Shasta. You know, Shasta, there's a lot of people who have ceremony or they're meditating or whatever. Don't just walk by them, you know, blabbing on your iPhone or talking to your friend.
Right.
Stop and honor people.
This, yes.
You know, meditate with them.
Yes.
Join their ceremony. Ask, you know, ask, can I join
love
your
that.
Ceremony? Of course they're going to say yes. But don't just, you know, pretend as if that's their what they're doing.
Yeah.
You know, if you're truly a light worker, you're going to be connecting with people in a much stronger and heart-based way as this stuff unfolds. So join in.
Yeah.
You know, don't just walk by. If you're in a tour group, don't just walk by another mm-hmm. group of people who are meditating, like blabbing about where you're going to have lunch or something, you know?
It's yeah.
like, pay attention, people. Yes. You know, like, you got to walk to the talk.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
definitely.
Well, I'm glad that you brought up Mount Shasta, because I do want to touch on that just a little bit, because it is such a special place.
Yeah.
And how long have you been living in?
5 years. Sure.
5 years. Oh, happy anniversary. Wow.
Oh
wow. And I know it's known, or it's said to have a city that exists underground. And I know that you've spent a lot of quiet time camping and really have probably had some interesting experiences. And I'm wondering what kind of contact you've had with other beings, and have the Agarthans ever come to visit or give a message? And would you share that with us?
Yeah. When I first got to Mount Shasta in 2012, I actually had to pull off the road as I got close to it.
Wow.
I got totally nauseous. I entered a field and I looked at the mountain, and all of a sudden I got this huge rush of information of like, what I was there to do. I didn't know what I was there to do.
There
was all this rush and all this information, flashes of like what was going to happen to Mount Shasta. And I had to pull off the road. I was like, no, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. Find somebody else. Find somebody else. And I was like, here we go. You know. And I was like, oh my God, I was in a meltdown. So I pulled into town and everything. And the first thing that I noticed in early 2012, I got there in May of 2012, was there were all this like master presence and beings and ETs, and like it was a zoo. I was just like, and it dissipated after 2012.
Everything
was like, everything was there to like, you know, gain access to that portal and
yeah.
sort out their own like where, who's going where and everything like that. And it gets that way every once in a while. All these beings show up and they're kind of like in panic mode because there's about to be a timeline shift or a reality shift or a cosmic trigger or something, and everybody, like all the councils, are going, who's going where, who's doing what, what about us, you know? They're
it's
all
like mission control, like where?
Yeah, exactly. But that did calm down quite a bit after 2012 and 2013. And for a while, we have extensive lightship activity. I am somebody who's experienced flying in and out of the mountain in lucid dream state and stuff like that. So there's been a lot of contact for me.
Okay.
And a lot of lightship interaction. And I've seen lightships come and go out of the mountain and right next to my campsite, and very bizarre light bands and flashes and different beings and beings that walk without making footsteps on the ground. You know, they like make, they you hear the sound of footsteps, but they're not actually stepping on the ground.
Okay.
And to me, that's more of an inner earth type being. There's you know, the legend of Telos and the inner, I'm going to shock everybody right now. I actually do not believe in Telos. And the reason why is because in 2014, I think it was 2014, I had this experience. I was up on Shasta. I was camping. It was full moon. And I was like, are we done here yet? Like, I'm up here by myself. It's cold. I'm in a hammock, you know. And I was like, are we done here yet? And all these, you know, I have a very large team. And they all, you know, they start laughing. They're like, you live here. And I'm like, yeah, I live here. It's like the most challenging place, you know, for somebody who's always lived by water and I've never been a mountain person or whatever. And you're so remote and everything. And it's such a small town.
Yeah.
And I come from like Chicago and, you know.
Right. Nothing, I'm sure, is convenient to get, you know, as far as daily.
It's just, you know, you live a very simple life.
Yeah.
But it was just very challenging. And, you know, the tribe coming and going all the time and light workers and all the belief systems. I was like, ugh, are we done yet? You know? And they're like, you live here. And I laughed. I said, yeah, the most challenging place I've ever lived. And they're like, no, 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 you live here. And then all of a sudden, like, part of the mountain opens up and I see all of these holographic templates that are implanted into the mountain. And they, some of them appear as like crystalline cities, you know, some of them appear as like as towns, you know, as like villages and stuff like that. And I was like, well, what is that? It's not actually where people are living. And they're like, no, this is intentions from the future that were placed there in ancient days, you know, for safekeeping of all of these realities of peaceful realities and harmonious ways of living and everything. So it was like the intention, this Lemurian intention that was placed in the mountain and all these different holographic templates that it's also, and it's not just Lemurians, it was Sirian influence, Venusian influence, Pleiadian, like all these different, you know, star families are like, okay, if we get to that point where if Gaia reaches a certain level, we can start revealing, you know, how to live, how to be and everything. And it's really interesting because I received this, and there was so much of that download about what was going on, but I received that and literally, and I was like, wow, I can't talk about this because the belief system is so strong.
Yeah.
People are like journeying to Telos and everything, you know, nobody's gone there physically. It's just, you know, this, they guide you through a guided meditation or whatever and go, okay, now we're going to Telos, you know, and it's like, what do you experience? Well, it could be anything. It's whatever the person's consciousness is desiring to experience. You know, you can just like end up tapping into a mastery level or mastery realm. You know, you receive whatever it is you're asking for, you get information back.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. And I was like, wow, I can't talk about this. People have entire businesses in Mount Shasta based on Telos.
You know? Wow.
So I'm like, okay, I'm just not going to talk about it. Keep the peace or whatever. And also understand that I just have a different point of view.
Right.
You know, to my consciousness, nobody's ever taken me to a city called Telos. Inner Earth civilizations, yes, absolutely. Mm. I do not know if the Inner Earth civilizations that I've encountered or the Inner Earth beings that I've seen that are blatantly like a Lemurian type representation that look very much like us, but they're wearing, you know, flowing white robes or sometimes kind of jumpsuity, more space, you know,
galactic looking.
I don't know if they actually live in the mountain. I would never make that assumption. And they've never said, we're from Telos.
Right.
Or we live in the mountain. They've never said that. You know, to me, it just doesn't make linear sense.
Right.
But it was interesting because after I had this revelation and this download and everything, 5 days later, Kryon came to Mount Shasta, Lee Carroll. And he's one of the few channels that... that I hear every once in a while, you know, where it's just like, hey, you should listen to what Kryon said. And I was like, what? So, but they were in Mount Shasta, and it was really interesting because he opened his whole event by calling the dead, now deceased, Aurelia Louise Jones, who actually channeled the original Telos material.
Oh.
He's like, Aurelia, come sit at my feet.
Oh.
He's like, thank you for the work that you did. He's like, in the old light, it looked like a city. And I was like,
whoa.
I was like, got goosebumps just thinking about it. But I was like, thank you. Because I know that and again, no judgment on that level of consciousness or that perception. But I do feel that our perception is changing.
Mm-hmm.
That in, because I've seen and ran through the crystalline cities over the mountain. You know, that was a big experience for me. You know, I ran like a kid with a day pass. I see everything, you know. Because I didn't know how long the experience would last.
Yeah.
You know? But it was definitely over. It was not in the mountain. It was over the mountain. So there's that level. You know, there's all these different creations. Because it's a very powerful spot for creation. It's a very powerful vortex.
Okay.
So we have access to creating whatever you want. I've created things there too that people are like, I saw this giant octahedron. I'm like, oh yeah, I put that there. You know, that kind of thing. But it's interesting to have this like new light. We have to cast this new light on all of those belief systems and stories and creations and go,
right.
Well, it was really cool when we thought it was like that. And now, dot, 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 you know. So just kind of bring it into this present and realize that, you know, all the messages for Telos are like classic Ascended Master teachings. Be nice to each other. Don't eat animals. You know, all that stuff, you know, be good.
Yeah.
It's classic Ascended Master type material, classic Ascension guidance.
Right.
So there's nothing wrong with it. We don't judge it at all. It's just the perception of people looking for physical doors into the mountain. You know, you're probably going to find a military base before you'll find an inner earth city.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, no, we're not going to blow up the mountain just so you can satisfy your craving for telos. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. It's just realizing that the mountain itself generates that pure vibration of access to the divine feminine. That's why we call her Mother Shasta, Mama Shasta.
Oh, okay.
It's because that it reminds you of your heart. You feel that heart energy when you go there. Mm-hmm. You might feel a lot of crown energy too, because it opens up to your ascension columns. The whole plan is to merge all the chakras into the ascension columns so you can become something else. And the way that you project yourself into realities is different. You know, the classic chakra system is a way to project yourself into 3D.
Mm-hmm.
But it has no business in 5. So, you know, we're all leveling up these systems and going, okay. So when you go to Mount Shasta, you do have those multidimensional experiences. Mm-hmm. You might see galactics if you're connected to a galactic level. You might see masters if you want to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, technically they've moved on to something else too.
Right.
But those imprints, I found it really interesting because it taught me a lot about holographic imprints into these sacred sites and everything. Because
mm-hmm.
the malevolent stuff gets ripped out. You know, that was a lot of the work, was like taking out any malevolent intent was a huge, I mean, gosh. We were just working on that right up until last December.
Wow.
You know, it was just like huge Luciferian influence and everything, you know, which people hear that term, they're like, ooh, the boogeyman, you know, but it's like, it's just duality.
Yeah,
you know, it's
right.
just like, again, the summation of the story of, you know, going and thinking that you can create light and that other people will be enamored with your creation instead of pure source consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same story.
Mm-hmm.
But all that stuff was getting ripped out. As a gatekeeper, you get to see it all leaving. A lot of it really horrifying, you know. But it's the thing is now, those benevolent templates and intentions, and certainly every light worker who's come and placed crystals and stones and intentions in the mountain, it is a divine sacred mirror.
Yeah.
So it gives you back exactly what you're taking to the mountain, which is why you want to set your intention strongly, just like here in Sedona,
mm-hmm.
before you do any kind of, you know, ceremony or sacred work. It's like, what's my intention?
Yeah.
You got to stay conscious.
Yeah.
Because otherwise it just throws back, you know, whatever it is you need to look at.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that kind of thing.
Yes, yeah. I do. I've told people Sedona should come with a bit of a warning sign. Warning will amplify. So
magnetics. Exactly. Look around you. The whole thing is made of iron and crystal. Yeah. You know, it's a big organ.
Exactly.
Organite generator. You know, like,
it's so true. But, you know, Mount Shasta is such a Mama Shasta. I'm going to call her that now, too. I don't know if she represents a certain chakra. People have asked me about that.
Yeah, I think we need to throw the whole chakra system away. I mean, if anything, she behaves like a crown.
Ooh.
I've heard Bashar call her a crown, too.
Okay.
I was like, it does, you know, as somebody who has a lot of head shape things going on, crown openings going on, I'm like, yeah, I could feel the crown aspect. Okay. Definitely. I mean, I feel like the whole top of my head is gone. You know, at this point, and perhaps that is a side effect of being, you know, in some place that would have got tagged as a crown chakra.
Wow.
It hasn't been a root chakra. That's a really old belief system. I don't know people feel that when they go there. I don't feel root at all.
Oh, me. One time I had been there, and this was before I was very aware and awake, I did not feel any roots. I actually felt a lot of Native American stuff that was there, but such serenity. So it was definitely, to me, a higher vibe experience. But I'm curious, do you think moving forward, what will happen to those lower chakras in the fifth dimension? Is that something we still take with us?
No, like I don't have an experience like really from... I guess I still feel like heart center, high heart, throat on occasion, definitely third eyes blasted out. Crown has like 5 levels now, you know. I've been going through this Christed crown activation, which is really interesting.
Oh.
So it doesn't just open up a crown chakra, but it's actually like this activation for DNA, for true human crystalline DNA going on.
Oh.
But it's symbolized in a crown, you know. It's like all this royalty stuff.
Oh.
You know, the old stories of like,
yes.
Oh, and then you receive your crown and the coronation and everything.
Yes.
It's just, you know, you're living the story. So mm-hmm. it's when you get there, you see like all these similarities between your journey and the kind of Christed template journey of, like, you know, Buddha, Krishna, Yeshua, you know, all the masters, all the folks that came before us. You kind of live the template, and then you kind of transcend it, and it's turning into something else now.
Yeah.
So the lower chakras are just kind of gone.
Hmm.
You know? I mean, outside of solar plexus, below there just kind of feels gone. It just feels like this flow.
Right.
But there's definitely something going on higher, and I'm not somebody who is going to label them as 12 or 25 chakras. I feel that those are just belief systems, and that we are transcending those as well.
Mm.
So it's like I teach ascension column, open up, just blast the whole thing open, because then you can project your consciousness as a fully unified multidimensional consciousness that kind of encapsulates all that you are through the heart center. Heart center is definitely, you know, the junction point, high heart center, you know, somewhere in there. It's definitely the junction point and your gateway back to source.
Mm-hmm.
And it also, this heart intelligence thing, there's a lot of information coming in, and it bypasses the mind completely, which is why expressing it is so difficult, because you're like, well, there's really no words for it.
Yeah.
You know, people have attempted with light language to try to bypass people's
brain
and ego, you know, it's like, just listen, just feel it, which is brilliant. And it's, again, that's another phase of our awakening, you know, that was brought in through the first waivers, you know, and people were speaking light language on mushrooms and stuff, you know, back in the 60s, and now it's like this popular thing, because it gets the mind out of the way and gets people straight into the heart. You have to feel it. You know, a lot of people recalling the Murrian light language or Syrian light language, you know, just they're interpreting the sensation of origin or the last place they knew as home. You know, ideally home would be pure source consciousness. But a lot of us, you know, you visit here for a while and you're like, okay, I'm going to go back to Vega, you know, or whatever. It's just, you know, a lot of Lyran energy coming through a lot of people, because they're feeling that inception point for the human genome. You know, they're feeling the encodements from those different star systems, but also like the root of it, you know, the stuff that started in Vega back in Lyra, you know, that kind of origin story again. It is part of the story, that's part of your root or whatever. If you're going to engage with a divine human crystalline consciousness, you know, we're going to take and demonstrate what divine human existence is about. We haven't even explored that yet.
Yeah.
You know, so that's exciting. Some people are like, oh, I'm bored with it. I want to go back to Sirius or whatever. It's like, fine, you know, you're done. But there are some of us who are like, oh, I think we need to anchor this fully on the new earth, and then we can go visiting other places. Yes. You know, it's like one step at a time.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Yeah. Oh, okay. It's very activating sitting near you. So keep that light bright. Ooh, it's so good, Sandra. I can't thank you enough. I'm just going to touch on this this card that came up, because I felt it was so relevant, and then maybe just close out with what you feel is coming up. I know we just had the fall equinox, which was like right, of course, perfectly aligned, like right before the 23rd, and then all of, like, here we are at the Olympics, man.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna introduce this card here that came out from this beautiful deck, which I found out is the only one that Sandra owns. And I was called to it. It felt like you when I saw it. But this is the Mystic Art Medicine Oracle cards.
I
want to shout exactly. I want to say her name is Cheryl Lynn.
Yeah.
Cherlyn. Excuse me.
I found that in Sedona over at Choco Tree.
Yes.
A couple years ago.
Oh,
they used to have
them
on every table. They don't do that anymore, but they used to have a deck on every table. And I was like, look at this art. Like,
that's
for
a
me,
great idea. That's a 5D restaurant.
Yeah. Well, it's like so creative.
Oh.
The deck is really beautiful. She does these massive paintings, and then she shrinks them down into these cards, and they all have these beautiful messages.
Beautiful. Like, I mean, these are just, it's a stunning, stunning deck. And I have to thank my friend Jason, who gifted this to me. And I think he's a friend of Cherlyn. And it's just, you have to go out and get this. You just have to, because the cards itself, to just look at them and then let alone start reading what they all mean. My gosh. So what I asked for today was the message that our listeners needed to hear. And this, what came out, was core healing, which is, I know, a lot of the work that we've been doing. And I'll just read a little blurb here. Trauma is trauma no matter the circumstance. Your inner child who experienced trauma has been ignored, denied, and misunderstood, now demands healing. Bringing these into awareness is how you can deal with the effect past events are having on you now, in the present moment. Core healing marks a new beginning, the cycle where peace and harmony reunite awareness to what prophets call bringing forth that which is already within you. It is accomplished through a mystical alchemy of surrendering into forgiveness for all things done by and to you. It is the final falling away of the mask. Here, healing the wounds of the inner child are addressed. So very, very relevant. I can't wait to post this picture so you can all just googly eye over it. Yeah. It's so stunning.
It's gorgeous. And I love that deck because it's, you know, before you read the book or whatever, you know, you're just like, well, let's just see what are some things I can focus on today. You know, just like throw three cards down or whatever.
Yes.
Yeah, I used to do that pretty consistently. I haven't done it in a while. So I'm glad that you brought it down. I'm like, oh yeah, the
good
deck.
Good.
And I actually have them with me, which is odd.
Well,
but I always, you know, I put them down and I'm like, well, what do I feel in my heart before you open the book?
Yeah.
What do I feel in my heart about what this is showing me?
Yes.
And sometimes I'll throw down cards and I'll be like, nope, I'm sorry, you got it wrong.
That's not what I'm feeling.
And I'm in charge of my destiny.
No, I love that because I've done that. Then I'm like, maybe that's me just not surrendering. You know, again, the kind of discernment, getting your discernment in alignment. I love that you're just like, nope.
I'm like, come on, guidance, we can do better.
We can do better. That's a quote I say a lot. Yes.
Like, oh, yeah, that's what it is. Okay, that's definitely something I have to look at or that's what I have to feel or whatever. And that's, it's you know, a deck like that. It's just so much more creative.
Yes.
You know, if our intention is to move into being true creator beings,
right,
you really have to expand beyond the limits stories of the tarot or whatever.
Yes.
You know, still helpful for a lot of people. But it's like, don't let it direct your life. Why would you do
exactly.
that?
Don't let it put a ceiling, you know, a cap on where this could actually take you in your own unique way.
Yeah.
But you're so right, especially with this deck. It's something that you can look at, and I think will have so many meanings and messages for you just visually.
Just to play with it.
Yeah.
You know, just play with it. Don't take it so seriously, you know. Mm-hmm. And when they're talking about core healing and forgiveness, that's huge for a lot of people.
Yes.
You know, you can't go anywhere without that.
Yeah.
You know, there has to be that embracing all that is and going, okay, do I fully comprehend that all of this has purpose and had meaning for some higher being, and understanding that, you know, you don't know all of your soul's intentions.
Right.
It's great to stay innocent, as the card recommends.
Yes.
You know, the inner innocence child is key. It's not just goofing around, playing, avoiding responsibility.
Right.
It's because you do want to be conscious, you know, you don't, we've definitely been treated like children for quite a long time, you know, so to the point where, you know, people are getting into neoteny, you know, they're adult children.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the innocence that doesn't judge, that doesn't make up its hardcore mind, this is the truth.
Right.
You have to be so flexible right now because it's changing.
Oh, yes.
You know, on a global level, everything that we thought was true is probably going to get flipped upside down, inspected, and be like, oh, well, that was cool. But to have the forgiveness of like, well, you know, not feel betrayed, I guess, or, you know, bamboozled by the old realities, you know, it's like, don't keep a grudge, just laugh at it and be like, whoa, you really got me. Okay, I'm going to go over here. You know, the thing is to keep moving forward.
Yes.
Because if you hold a grudge and you don't have forgiveness, you will stay there.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get to watch all your brothers and sisters go somewhere else and you'll be like, oh,
yeah,
I missed that train.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah. I keep getting that train and bus visual too. I'm just like,
I know, all of us just for years.
Oh, I just want to, and I'm like, I want to make sure I jump on it and I get on it. And I'm like, well, it feels really good. I don't know. I'm holding this like, and it's like a magical train and there's
just an experience.
Yes.
Just to have the experience, you know, it's not like, oh, I have to stay behind and help everybody. It's like, yeah, help everybody. But at some point in your journey, you're going to be like, really want to see the inside of that train.
Mm-hmm.
Really want to know where that train is going.
Yeah. And I just want to mention too that Brother Alexander Mazon had always suggested to look at the very bottom card of the deck. So your whole pile there, right, of the cards that didn't apply. But you look at the bottom and it's like the overall kind of theme.
Oh, that's fun.
So I wanted to mention that on this, when I flipped it over, it happened to be gratitude.
Yes.
So gratitude will be a huge service or help to the core healing. Which, ta-da, again, we already know, but it's great that we have the cards to confirm things for us. And
that brings you so into this presence, this present moment now, this absolute now time that we're experiencing. The gratitude just expands it. You know, it's like the more you go into the heart, the more your energy fields expand.
Yes.
You know, it's just, we talk about expansion, but it's actually the more that you resonate with that zero point, source point in the heart, the more that your energy fields just go bazoom, you know, like really fly out.
Yes.
And it's so beautiful because there's such a stillness or that unwavering thing that is generated through gratitude. You know, you're just like, wow, I'm so glad. Even if it's absolutely mundane to your mind, to your heart, your heart is like, yay,
you
get to play in this reality for just a little bit longer. You know, just really be grateful, especially when you get to the point where you have that more cosmic perspective of being free, you know, like, oh, I got there. I'm free from my own nonsense.
Right.
And now I can start experiencing life as my higher self. And then you're constantly just beaming everything, you know, and treating everything as consciousness.
Right.
Everything, even the material things around you, everything's consciousness.
Yes.
You know, it's all been created by the collective.
Right.
So it's gratitude for everything.
Yeah.
And the stuff that you're done with, you're just done with. You know, don't judge it. Just be like, okay, now I'm going to let that go.
Oh, so yummy. Well, we had the, like I said, the equinox and the September 23rd alignment. So to close out for our listeners, what do you feel or what have you heard maybe that is kind of coming up next? Just energetically, what can we expect to feel? We're moving into, I tend to feel fall is very kind of nostalgic and there's a warm and fuzzy kind of cozy thing. And what are you getting in that regard?
Well, in the beginning of the year, you know, they always lay out all these gateways. And there was, well, you know, every month it was like a couple of sections where things were going to happen and everything like that. And the interesting thing about this year, what's so unique, is there was nothing between September 23rd and December 23rd. They're connected.
Oh.
So we actually, you know, with the opening of that, that we call that a cosmic trigger, but that gateway that happened on the 23rd with the alignment, that opens up this huge passage for this new experience. And it just, you know, it is amplifying whatever you have going on, which is like the norm for the shift.
Mm-hmm.
But now for the Wayshower tribe, you know, and I can only speak from that point of view.
Right.
For the Wayshower tribe, we're getting into a very amplified, intensified experience of this absolute presence so that we can actually open the gateways to new earth. So we're actually anchoring that through the collective consciousness. But there's going to be some very bizarre things happening with our consciousness, and it is consciousness-based. You know, I make no predictions about what it's going to look like to the external world.
Right.
Because we're leaving that reality. So it's just like, oh, whatever happens there, happens there. But we're kind of building this bridge to the new earth. So like, okay, we need to anchor it through the collective consciousness before we're going anywhere.
Right.
You know, kind of thing. And admittedly, it is the strangest thing to claim that people are going to, you know, phase out of your reality.
But, I know.
It is what it is.
Right.
You know, when you start having that very palpable sense of like, this whole I could just walk right out of here. This is, you know, you can feel it.
Well, we've had items go missing, like truly just.
Yeah.
Where did that item go?
You know, and it's been like kind of metaphoric or subtle.
Yeah.
This timeline split where it's like, oh, you feel people and family dropping away. You know, the job goes, the house goes, you know.
Yeah.
Now we're having these collective things where there's like hurricane. And people are like, oh my God, the elementals. It's like, well, yeah, all this stuff is activating and the sun's going off. So, yeah, and we just had this huge eclipse. So, yeah, you know, there's
going to
be an elemental reaction.
Right.
But also look at what that does to all those people they went through in the space of just a couple of days what we go through in our awakening process mm-hmm. over a couple of years.
Yeah.
You lost your job, you lost your house,
it's
you lost
true.
Everything. And you have to start and rebuild from scratch and yes. look at your life and appreciate your neighbors and get together and work together.
Oh.
I mean, look at it from that perspective. It's
yes.
like this huge amplification of like, wake up, you know, okay, yeah. let's take this giant swath of Texas, Florida, you know, the coast or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's just acceleration.
Yes.
You know, I see it as a reflection. Even the all the fires that we're having in Oregon and up in the Pacific Northwest, huge acres and acres, I mean, hundreds of thousands of acres burned.
Mm.
And I just see it as alchemy, whether it's water or fire or earthquake or whatever, it's
mm-hmm.
just the alchemization that's happening right now.
Yeah.
Now this acceleration.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, if you're looking to the external for validation of something that should be occurring within,
mm-hmm.
you're looking in the wrong place.
Right.
You know, it's just the reflection of the alchemy of the collective consciousness and Gaia.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just represented in a fractal way
yeah.
in your external reality.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Do you think that there will be some more kind of shaking and quaking? And
it's bound to occur.
Yeah,
it's bound to occur.
Like that's how it doesn't surprise me anymore that it's
yeah.
happening all over different areas in different ways. Just like
yeah. I mean, the councils that I belong to never talk about financial shifts or anything like that. That's just like not part of our agenda.
Mm-hmm.
But but they have shared that the experience, you know, to focus on the experience, because the experience is going to get really off the charts for a lot of people. So it was just like, just focus on that.
Yeah.
Focus on bringing in that and let that lower reality
right.
go. But it's always the intention to carry it forward with as much ease and grace as possible.
Mm-hmm.
But we also don't want to step down the frequencies anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've had this earth-facing quiet thing going on with the sun where it's like, let's just shield. And we're done with that. You know, they said by the end of the year, they won't be able to do that. We're actually entering a area of space that's so amplified as so much pure, dense, photonic activity.
Wow.
That's the dimensional shifting, consciousness shifting stuff that makes the sun go off and makes the realities change and everything like that. But there's, you know, we're all playing with these time dynamics, but the more
right.
people that get into this absolute zero point presence, you can't play with it the way that you used to anymore because the bifurcation is too wide. You know, you get people who are experiencing absolute now in a consistent way, and people are still experiencing density as if nothing happened. It's too wide of a gap.
Right.
Which is why they have this bifurcation happening, which we're supposed to be experiencing between now and next July.
Wow.
You know, like a full-blown, you know, we're just not going to see each other anymore kind of thing. And whether it means leaving the body or fading out
right.
or replacing yourself with some kind of holographic implant to play out the role so people don't freak out.
Yeah.
I don't know yet. You know, there's still discussion.
Walk-ins, going. I know that was something that was, you know, a
yeah.
term used back in the day, but it could also be a possibility.
It's kind of like your higher self is walking in.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, you feel it. You're like, I don't feel anything like old Sandra at all. I mean, people have to remind me of my past. You know, it's just like, remember that time when I'm like, that doesn't exist in my reality anymore. You know, it's just like, you just cannot
yeah.
recreate or recall that. You know, it's interesting.
Right.
Yeah.
And I love that too, because that's a great way to let go of things that don't serve you anymore. It's just that cancel clear. I mean, really nothing, as far as memories go, it's only what you're holding on to that will make it continue to exist.
Yeah. And the cancel clear thing is like,
cancel clear
so sweet to me.
The best.
Because like there was this guy back in the 80s. I know, first waiver. This guy back in the 80s, it was on a cassette tape, and he used to say cancel, cancel.
Cancel.
So really? It was like, cancel, like back in the 80s, and we used to use it. You know, it was like so much fun. You were
yeah.
like, oh, cancel.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's come back.
It's like I had this rebirth. It's cancel clear. I love it.
Yeah. Cancel clear feels so good because it does. It allows you to make a mistake or go a certain way that you're like, oh, I didn't really want to go that way. And then you cancel clear. That doesn't exist.
Or you just close, like higher levels uncreate. And you send it back to source. You're like, nope, sorry.
Yeah. In the little mail chute that I always visualize now. Here you go.
I love it.
I know. I do too. Well, Sandra, I can't thank you enough. I want you guys to know, go to sandrawalter.com. Very easy to find all of her goodies. You have a lot of, well, you do a lot of unity meditation. You do every Sunday. So
yeah,
you've
look
got
at free tools in the menu. Okay. There's all the free tools, light intel articles. That heading gives you all the weekly articles and updates on, like,
yes,
you know, the big cosmic hoo-ha. But the free tools section actually gives you grounded tools. There's quite a few of them that
are
taken from the class that are free.
Yes.
You know,
and they're in depth. I will tell you, they really are. You get a lot from just watching your YouTube videos and reading your articles. You get so much from it. And the meditations, I can't speak highly enough about. They're just that you can tell that they are very channeled.
Yeah.
And they just come in and just, whoa, all of a sudden you're just... It's like a portal that you
connecting.
Can...
We're learning.
Yes, you can
We're
connect.
We're learning how to connect in a without technology. It doesn't happen online. It happens just, you know, you look at your timepiece and you're like, okay, now.
Yeah.
You can feel it when you start participating.
Yes.
It's like the 10 minutes leading up, you're like, oh,
yeah.
Here comes the pull.
Oh,
you
yes.
Know? It's a very strong field.
Mm-hmm.
But it's something that, you know, use it.
Yes.
Use it, everybody. It's free. It's open. And we're actually training for how we're going to create... in the future,
oh.
You know, how we're going to be able to co-create things in the now moment by just tapping in.
I love
and,
that
you know,
so much.
Solar flares blast the grid. We'll keep doing it. You
yeah.
know, we'll just know, oh yeah, Sunday we'll tap in. Sunday, we'll tap in.
Oh.
You know, it's training us to be able to
yes.
feel each other and tap into that unity consciousness field in a pure way
mm-hmm.
without any intention other than connecting and assisting.
Yeah.
You know, it's like support, love,
yes,
purity. That's it.
Oh, I love that. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
You're
again
welcome.
So much.
So wonderful sharing space with your sister, especially
thank
during this big divine
thank
feminine.
You. Oh my gosh.
Great.
I know it's honestly so many things align perfectly for you to be here right now and share this with all of us and to the listeners. Thank you so much for tuning in. Next week, I think we're going to have Jason Styles on next week and do a little, J-Dog, do some pyramid talk, you know, again, another way to amplify and help. And it's very soothing, very activating. but thank you all so much for tuning in. This is Heart on Radio. Sandra Walter, thank you so much. And blessings. Namaste. Love you all.